Soccer night in Nashville. Let's do this thing. The Nashville Soccer Show is on your radio dial. I'm Will Bowling, joined by Lucas Panzeca and Davey Shepherd. It's a beautiful night to talk some soccer, boys. We've got lots to discuss. Nashville SC is in the win column. They're one of four undefeated teams left in Major League Soccer. There's one guy in this lineup that's pretty undroppable right now, if you're Gary Smith. We're going to get into a piece by Ben Wright of Broadway Sports Media coming up at 9:15 tonight. Plus, two out of three of us had wonderful weekends in the European competitions. Lucas and Davey are happy. I could not be more pissed. We're going to get to that at the end of the show. I'm going to delay my despair as long as I possibly can. But gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
Doing good, man. I'll be honest with you. My show notes, all I have is talk about Tim Tebow, so I must have not prepared the right way for tonight. Sorry about
that. You confused? This is not the Buck Rising show, Davey. Oh, that's what Lucas is here, but this is not the Buck Rising show.
I'd rather beat my head into a wall.
Well, that's what I was doing while Arsenal was playing Villarreal last week, so I can relate. Beating your head into a wall, a little bit better than you'd think, maybe. I'm still here, aren't I? I survived. I don't know. Did I really survive? NSC survived. They had a great weekend in Nissan Stadium. It felt like a more full atmosphere. It was a beautiful day for soccer on Saturday at Nissan Stadium. And the boys picked up a 2-0 win over New England Revolution. Alex Mueel gets off the mark, picks up his first goal. Davey, it's the best performance of the year. It's what we've been waiting for, and if you'd put money on NSC to pick up 3 points in one of its first four games at home, this wouldn't have been the one you put money on, but it's the one that you end up getting 3 points out of.
No, you're exactly right. And I think that last week we said, is this a must-win game? And I kind of pushed back against that on the show. I pushed back against that in the podcast with Ben later in the week. But it was going to be a tough result. And I think the first thing we've got to start with is the starting lineup. When we saw the team sheet come out, our little group chat blew up right away thinking, well, good Lord, we're going to be lucky to snag a point out of this one, much less all three. New England's been in good form. You know, you got a few guys. Hani's not even in the 18. Yonder's not in the 11. What is this going to be like? And they go out there and they play tremendous. He wasn't even in the running, I wouldn't think, for man of the match, Don Baggi. I thought Don Baggi was the best player wearing a yellow shirt the other night. I thought the guy was tremendous. Really, really good shift from him. Really dangerous movement. CJ Sapong gets his goal, obviously. Mueel gets his goal. For me, Dax McCarty was about as good as it got on the field as well. So really, really solid performance all the way around. I think really impressive. If you're a fan at home, that's got to calm the nerves a little bit. Nashville's a point off of the top of the East. They're in a good spot, feeling good. And, hey, a chance to make some more hay against Real Salt Lake coming up this week.
Yeah, it's a big opportunity. The change of shape is where our discussion will start tonight. Nashville SC really, well, I think they listen to this show, right? Gary Smith, if you're listening right now, buddy, thank you for taking my advice from last Tuesday night's show. I said last week, I feel like a change in shape could help this team. I feel like it could make sense to unlock the attack a little bit. And I think Davey and Lucas, who's getting Zone TV going here, so he's going to join us here in a second as well. I think the biggest thing that stood out to me is when Hadi Mukhtar is unavailable for Nashville SC, two strikers unlocks this attack more and does a lot of the work that Hadi Mukhtar is going to do, linking the midfield, linking the defense with the attack, which is exactly what CJ Sapong and Dominic Baggi did for Nashville SC in the 2-0 win over New England. They came short while one was making those diagonal runs, pressing the back line. Well, that allowed Alex Mueel to have a nice day, cutting inside. Randall Leal, we know, loves to cut inside. And in that void on the outside flanks, well, Alistair Johnson and Dan Lovitz had good days serving the ball in as well. This system looked like the most cohesive attack that we have seen from back to front from Nashville SC so far this season. Do you guys agree?
I think that's part of it. The other thing I would say is this, is that New England is in a weird personnel situation. And if they make the commitment to starting two of their more offensive wingers, they are really, really hurting when it comes to tracking back. And it kind of just accentuates why a guy like Alex Moyle is so important. Buchanan, I thought, had a pretty good day. He was as pesky as he always is. But at the end of the day, tracking back, he was called out several times. I think that let guys like Lovitz and Johnston flourish. And you're right. To me, the impact that the fullbacks had on the game was as strong as it's been yet so far this season. Now, that's not saying a ton because they haven't been great through three games. They haven't been bad either. But Dan Lovitz was really, really good, both offensively and defensively. Alistair got into it. And Alex Moyle was he got man of the match. Well-deserved. He was in the voting, finished fourth in voting for player of the week in MLS as well. So well-deserved.
And fun to watch what Dax McCarty can do as part of that double pivot with all that space opened up in front of them as part of the 4-4-2. Rather than having Hani Mukhtar sitting in front of him, Mukhtar is scratched too. We haven't talked about that yet, not even on the bench for an injury that we had no idea about going in. But McCarty was a bull. I mean, we talked about his slow start. This was a captain-like performance for a guy who can not only break up play in the middle of the field. A lot of midfielders get that first part down. They can win back possession, but about finding the right pass to spring Nashville the other way. And I thought he was excellent. Him and Godoy complemented each other very well. And look, maybe it's recency bias. I thought Dax McCarty stuck out in that game more than in his last 10 performances for Nashville SC.
Perhaps the thing that sticks out to me the most about this performance was the start. For the first time this season, Nashville SC started really brightly. They controlled the pace of play. They picked their moments to get forward. And in a match where you know you're not going to get a lot of chances, you're not going to get as many opportunities against the Eastern Conference leaders and New England Revolution, Nashville SC took the opportunities they got. That, to me, was a really big piece of what this first half looked like. The first goal, we got to give Dan Lovitz a shout-out for crossing it beautifully with his right foot.
It made the goal.
This is a one-footed player.
Yep.
By all accounts, whips in a perfect cross. And the second I saw Walker Zimmerman up, I had two non-soccer fans with me. My roommate Mitchell and his brother Connor were with me. And I hit him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, Zimmerman's up. You better be ready for something here, because something's going to happen. Either they're going to get a counter the other way, or Nashville SC with the extra body is going to pick out an opportunity." Walker Zimmerman ends up getting the assist. And Nashville SC gets its first goal, its first lead of the season through CJ Sapong. I thought the fullbacks were really good. The service was bad last week. It was excellent on Saturday.
You know, it turns out, and this is going to shock people at home, but it's profitable to not spot teams 2-goal leads, believe it or not. So,
helps.
You know, it's a pretty good way of doing business if you're a professional soccer franchise. So, yeah, they got off to a good start. First win. CJ Sapong, nice goal there. I think even in fairness, Will, you'd say this. That's the same goal we've seen Cadiz score a couple of times this
Absolutely.
Year. You know, he was just right place, right time.
Right.
The thing I'll say about CJ is this, and I said it after the game in my three things part on BroadwaySportsMedia.com. CJ is noticeably stronger than any of the other forwards. The way he holds the ball up with his back to goal, kind of shrugs defenders off, is extremely impressive. That being said, later in the game, Cadiz comes on. You saw him blow right past the center backs. His speed is so noticeable when he comes on, especially late in a game like that. I thought Cadiz looked really, really sharp when he came on. He's offsides. Keeper made a really, really good save. Turner with a really nice save. And then Cadiz hits the post on a really tight angle on the other side. So I thought he looked okay when he came on. Obviously didn't get a goal. Gary Smith has a decision to make. Does he stick with the guy who scored the goal and got him his first win? I think it'll be interesting to see it in Real Salt Lake this weekend coming up.
And major props to Gary Smith. We were very critical of his late game changes and kind of the way he managed the Miami game, especially late. But to go in against as much of a must-win game as you could have, right, early season, the first four matchups, to go in against the conference-leading New England Revolution that have looked very good through their first few matches, throw out what you've been doing, bench your striker who has 2 goals in 3 games, and go with a 4-4-2 with a brand-new striking partnership you haven't seen yet. That's a bold move that if it doesn't work, we're here criticizing the hell out of Gary Smith tonight. But it worked, and I thought I was almost taken aback by the striking partnership of Dom Baggi and CJ Sapong. And how that instant chemistry, it felt like they had right off the bat. And maybe Gary Smith likes Dom Baggi more than we think. I think he was a little banged up through the first few games. He came in as a sub and started to get split out to the right a little bit in the Miami game. Maybe we see Dom Baji a good bit down the stretch here. When Nashville's in a 4-4-2 and it's a high-energy press like we saw over the weekend, I think Dom Baji fits in well.
You can join us on 104.5 The Zone TV tonight. You can immediately react with myself, with Davey Shepherd, who is on Zoom with us once again tonight. And with Lucas Panzeca, who's in a much more well-lit control room tonight here at 104.5 The Zone. Jonathan has chimed in on YouTube saying Zimmerman was boss the entire game. Jonathan, I would agree. I think MLS would agree. He's in the team of the week this week and showed you why he was the cornerstone this team was built around. Thought he was fantastic once again. Had Carlos Gil in his pocket the entire game, who's a very good player for New England.
Showed you why that center back partnership is going to make Nashville so hard to beat moving forward. And it has through the first four games. Dave Romney was phenomenal on Saturday. So that partnership can be among the best in MLS throughout the season. The floor is so high for this team, and we've known that. But I thought that was their best outing all season.
So he got the assist, which I like a lot. But and you guys tell me if I'm wrong here. I think Walker's been the worst defender of the back four to start the season. I think through four games, he's 4 of 4.
I think it's Lovitz for missing the chance he did against Miami just for that reason.
I don't know.
And the service hasn't been there until Saturday.
They've given up 4 goals. They've gotten a point in every game.
Yeah, luckily that's a high bar.
We're criticizing an extremely good group when we do this. But for a guy who was defender of the year last year in the, you know, the team of the year for MLS, I think he's off of that pace. Now, I think it's been a weird offseason, a weird year, not as much rest as you normally get. I think there's every reason in the world for people to be a little slow to start this season. I think Dave Romney has been out of this world with Anibal Godoy, the best player for Nashville SC. So it's hard to get past him for me right now. I'm looking to see a little bit more from Walker. I think this was his best game, though. I'll agree with that completely.
I do think Romney has been unquestionably more consistent than Walker Zimmerman. You haven't seen a nervy moment from Dave Romney like you saw from Zimmerman failing to step up in Montreal's first goal or nearly giving up, nearly getting a red card against Miami. You could argue should have been a red card and a pretty poor play from Zimmerman in that situation. So yeah,
and Walker's always going to roll the dice. He's always going to be that swashbuckling David Luiz get forward type of player. But we've seen just a few shaky moments from him so far. And look, I'm sure him more than anyone in the world wants to say, hey, let's put that crap to bed and move along. And
right, at this point though, that comparison could be considered like slander against Walker Zimmerman. Let's be careful with the David Luiz.
He had some good years for Chelsea.
You're preaching to the choir. I love David Luiz.
David Luiz has been good this year. He's been great.
The fact that nobody's really talking about him is probably a very good thing.
Thank you. Honestly, look, the guy can't live down having a red card penalty moment against Manchester City in the first game back from lockdown last season. His mistakes are massive, and his good play is pretty good. He's the only Arsenal center back that can actually pass out of the back, which is something that is important to Mikel Arteta. We'll get to that later in the show. But to me, my Walker Zimmerman comp is a Sergio Ramos without the reckless abandon, right? Which I know is pretty much what makes Sergio Ramos Sergio Ramos. But bear with me here. His ability in the air is so good. His mistakes are pretty big. And he's going to make about one a game, one every other game. That's the pace he's set so far this season. But when he is good, he's the best there is.
And he gets stuff on net. Ramos gets stuff on net. Exactly. Well. I see what you're saying.
So the work rate going forward checks the box for me on that comparison. The aerial ability, yes, it's the exact same. The passing out of the back, it's the same. Walker Zimmerman just doesn't, you know, hurt Liverpool players in big finals. Other question I had for you boys before we head to break: is this Nashville's second best option when Hany Mukhtar is out? We saw this team really adjust a lot last season. Hany Mukhtar missed some games late on in 2020. We saw Randall Leal go inside quite a bit, playing the number 10 role. We saw three in the back when Hany Mukhtar was gone, and just a bunch of Alex Wheel kind of guys that were in the game. Matt LaGrassa was in some of those teams. Taylor Washington, who I still like quite a bit, was in some of those teams. Is the 4-4-2 Nashville's best way to connect the midfield with the attack when Hany Mukhtar is unavailable?
I think it depends. If you have McCarty and Godoy playing at the level that they played this weekend and both available and both healthy and both rested, I think you can get away with playing the 4-4-2. But if Anunga is going to be in and you're playing a 6 with an 8 in that double pivot, I think it gets a little bit more interesting, and I think you've got to have a 10 on the field centrally. If the other personnel are there, look, we've seen 4 games and we've seen 1 formation win a game. So I don't see how you can knock it right now. Our guy Drake Hills over at the Tennessean shouted out for the 4-4-2 a lot last year. I think he asked Gary about it in almost every presser. People have wanted to see it for a while. And this is kind of why we've got some pretty good nines on the team. Why not give them a shot to play together, particularly guys like Dom Baji, who just used the space so dangerously the other day. If they're going to look that good, I think you've got to consider it. But if Anunga's in, to me, a guy like Randall Leal moving centrally just kind of connects back to the midfield a little bit better and strengthens the team as a whole.
But the question is, what does he do moving forward with Real Salt Lake? Let's say Hani Mukhtar is back in the lineup. And then it'll be decision time once again for Gary Smith. He's going to have to go back and forth throughout the course of the season. Does he try to settle into one of these, or do we see this happen where adjusting based on personnel? Because a guy like CJ Sapong that we saw through the first 3 matches, I don't know if I like CJ Sapong on an island as the target lone number 9 striker. He was excellent with Dom Baji next to him, giving him freedom to fall back a little bit. But when you're going back to the 4-2-3-1, I think you see Yonder Cadiz back in the starting lineup as the 9. So that's going to be fascinating to watch kind of that the levels over the course of the season based on who's available and who's not, what Gary Smith likes to do.
I think it's pretty safe to assume at this point that if Hani Mukhtar isn't in the squad on Saturday, I don't think he's going from not in the team at all to the starting lineup this weekend. I think at the very least, or at the very most, Hani Mukhtar is on the bench. Just because of the combination of, hey, this worked against one of the best teams in MLS last weekend, so let's roll the dice with it again. And you don't have to push Hani Mukhtar immediately back into the side. You can ease him back with whatever he's got. Because, look, we still don't know officially what
Yeah, I heard rumors of a tight hammy the day before.
You don't mess with that.
Yeah, no certainty there, but it's what we've heard. So it'll be interesting to kind of see where that is moving forward. Buana, I think, was the same thing. Actually, I think that was a quad. Yep. So we're talking big muscle groups. That it's a long season, 34 games. It's there's a lot of games left to play. Real Salt Lake's no slouch, but they're also not like the cream of the crop either. Right. So I think you can get a gritty result there in the same fashion you did last week.
All right, coming up, there is one player that has been a mainstay since he arrived in the Nashville SC lineup. When he's in it, they're winning. When he's not, things haven't gone quite as well. One guy that's undroppable. We'll tell you who that is next as the Nashville Soccer Show continues on 104.5 The Zone. Talking soccer with you tonight on the Nashville Soccer Show. 104.5 The Zone is where you find us. You can also watch, interact immediately as you listen and enjoy tonight's conversation on the beautiful game. Periscope, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube. I always have to make sure I don't miss one. I've helped create the dang thing, and I still have to make sure I don't miss one whenever I say that. All right, there is one guy in this Nashville SC team who every time he's in there, they win. And I'm going to finally admit it, that I've been wrong about him and that he deserves a permanent place in Gary Smith's starting lineup when he's healthy. Alex Wheel, ladies and gentlemen, has now made 21 starts for Nashville SC. They've gone mostly well when he starts. Nashville has won 10, drawn 8, and lost 3. When he is not in the lineup, Nashville has won 1 game, drawn 3, and lost 5. Davey, I'm ready to admit it. This guy's undroppable for Gary Smith right now.
I don't know what the gripe is with him. And look, I understand people want more end product, which we saw the other day. So credit to him. Gary said it after the game. He's working on it hard, working with Guppy, doing everything he can do to get onto the score sheet. So credit to Alex Moyle for trying to get better every single week. True pro, the whole 9. Look, I've always been open. I like the guy even when he's not on the score sheet. I like the things he does. I like the work effort he puts in. Now, I think people get a little bit spoiled when they see a guy like Randall Leal working back as hard as he does and then getting on the score sheet. But the things you kind of can't make up for is just the like the amount of running the guy does. He led the league again this week in meters covered over the course of the match.
Ran like 7 miles on Saturday.
Yeah, it was crazy.
7.9.
Yeah. And it's just like the idea for me that you've got to end up on the score sheet to have any value. And actually, this goes good with something that CJ said on your brother's podcast, Will, over on Club Country this week. The idea that like it's easy for an athlete to just kind of get define themselves by stats. And it's easy for us as people in the media to define players by stats, but more, so much more than that. He just brings so much grit, so much effort. And that's a Gary kind of guy anyways. But then you see the stats where it's of the 21, they've got a point in, was it 18 or 13? I'm mixing it up one way or the other.
You have a point in 18, at least a point in 18 of the 21 matches that he has started.
It's remarkable. I mean, it's a remarkable stat how important the guy is and how the teams perform when he's out there. So you can't really say anything other than that.
It's not news to Nashville. You know, when they brought Alex Moylan, it's exactly what they were looking for, and it's what they've gotten. Alex Moylan, 100-something appearances for New York Red Bulls, 110, 111, had 13 career goals in New York, but he was an effective winger, an effective midfielder for the Red Bulls for all those years. Nashville has basically gotten exactly what they thought they would get when they brought him in. They didn't bring him in for 10 goals a season.
Well, and his style is uniquely suited to starting because you know what you're going to get out of Alex Wheel. He's not a guy you bring off the bench because, let's face it, you're probably not going to get a goal out of Alex Wheel coming off the bench with the skill set he gives you. He's going to press. He's going to cover ground. He's going to play box to box. If you're putting him in a game late, it's as a defensive substitution on that right side to try to save what you've got, right? This is why I think there are guys better suited to come off the bench and relieve Alex Wheel when he's starting right now for Nashville SC. It's almost what's possibly going to keep Yonder Cadiz on the bench for a little bit for me. Is that the energy and the speed that he brings off the bench is almost better as a super sub. We saw it last season late on in 2020 for Nashville Soccer Club. I almost think Alex Wheel's the opposite because then, hey, you look and you reassess after 60 minutes and say, all right, look, we need a goal. You've got Pinheiro on the bench. You've got Hundwala on the bench. You've got a lot more options that can come in with the technical ability to score, but you can pencil down about a 7 or an 8 out of 10 for Alex Wheel every time he's in the team right now. And do I think he's the best option to score goals when you need it in the playoffs against a really good team? No. Does this team need that the way it's firing on all cylinders in front of goal right now? I don't think they do need goal scoring from that right side with what Alex Wheel's bringing them.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's hard to argue with. The points per game is just, I'll boil down to that. And when the guy's in, they play well. And when he's not in, they're not playing that well. And so that's over the course of a game. It's not necessarily sub-dependent inside of a single game. So look, until one of those guys is just absolutely undroppable, like you said, Will, I think we're just going to see Moyle over there over and over and over again. I think Buana's looked sharp in the appearances he's made.
Definitely.
I think he was even good in that half where Gary brought him out at halftime. I don't think he was bad enough to get yanked at halftime. I thought that was unfair. Pinheiro, we obviously haven't seen much of, and I really would have liked to have seen 15 minutes out of him. I tweeted that during the game. Up 2-0 with 15 minutes left. Get the guy out there and get him some minutes, man. We did not see it this week. I hope to see more of him soon. That's obviously a project signing. You know, 21, almost 22 years old, that's a project signing. But for the time being, you've got this guy that just fits everything identity-wise that your manager wants. Just let him be out there. Let him do his job.
Yeah, you said it, Will. You said a box-to-box winger. You know, that's not something you hear very often, but that's what he is. I mean, like, I'll tell you who loves Alex Moyle is Alistair Johnson. You know, Johnston, I should say. I mean, he's so critical to the hard-nosed identity of this team. And, yeah, he's the first guy you need to take off when you're chasing a goal in the last 20, 30 minutes, but that's okay. This team's not built around dynamic play off the wings. You know, that's a nice spark and a boost, and they need more of it. But that's not who they are to their core. Who they are is attributed to guys like Alex Moyle, and that's okay.
It's pretty remarkable that you can have a guy who has 3 assists and 1 goal in 1,750 minutes at Nashville SC, and he's undroppable. But, I mean, that's where he is right now. He averages 1 shot per match. He has 6 on target in his time with Nashville SC. And last week, as you mentioned, Davey, he leads MLS in distance covered at 12.67 kilometers. That's 7.9 miles. I mean, he's not the guy you want with the ball at his foot in a 2-on-1, you know, when you need a goal or when you're tied late. But if you need to adjust late, you can bring on that guy. That's where I think Alex Moyle really fits this team. And look, it's a bigger conversation that we've had about Nashville SC on this show before as well. When you're building something from nothing, it is paramount to build towards a specific identity, as specific as you can possibly get. So at least for the early stages of this club, as this team develops something that, you know, you come to town, you go to Salt Lake, and Salt Lake knows what Nashville SC is because they've built it in a short amount of time because of guys like Alex Moyle who track back and play defense but are also now scoring goals and contributing assists for this team. It's cool to see a guy like that get rewarded for the work that he's done in this team. And I think you have to credit Mike Jacobs and Gary Smith for finding that exact identity, pinpointing it, and getting a steal in this guy coming over from New York.
And let's not get it twisted either. It was a pretty tidy little finish he had there to beat the keeper near the far post. Yeah. It was nice, well taken. And hey, you know why that goal happened? Because of his pressing. He was in the exact channel where the ball was being played across, took advantage of a mistake, and then buried the goal far post. So we can complain about his finishing and stuff like that if we want to, because he's struggled with it in the past. That was a nice finish he had the other day.
And cool to see sort of the relief in his face and his team, kind of the way the team reacted, rallying around him too. I mean, you would have thought he scored a game winner in a cup final, but just cool to see that relief of it paying off in terms of an actual goal. But yeah, you talk about the press. This team seems to have the most high intensity press in this formation. I don't know what it is about the energy with the press, but I mean, you see goals created because of it. Alex Moyle's goal came from a giveaway by New England Revolution that he finished outside of the box. And it happened a lot in the second half. New England got very sloppy in the back out of the gates at halftime. Matt Turner made some very sloppy passes. The press kind of started to affect the way New England Revolution was playing in the second half. It's another thing I'll give Gary Smith credit for with the 4-4-2.
You talked about Turner. Let's go the other way. Joe Willis, another huge performance there to start the match out early. Few big saves again.
Big save in stoppage time.
Yeah, big save in stoppage time as well. I thought he was really, really impressive. And, you know, we talked about Walker again earlier. I can't get over Dave Romney this year. I think the guy has just been remarkably good and as underappreciated as a player as there is in the league, I think. He's just rock solid week in, week out.
It's easy to be forgotten about when you're the other center back Nashville acquired from Los Angeles. I mean, really. It's when you're comparing, obviously, to the MLS Defender of the Year, it's easy to forget about the performances that Dave Romney has put in. How concerned are we, though, that Nashville continues to ride with two center backs? We haven't seen Jack Mayer yet. We saw Jahlil Anibaba come onto the pitch quite late on in this match against New England as Nashville kind of switched to a 5-in-the-back formation to hold its 2-0 lead. Are we concerned at all that there hasn't been rotation yet? And no, it's too early to rotate this season. Obviously, there hasn't been a reason to, but at some point, we're going to see how good this Nashville team is after its top two center backs, and that's one of the concerns I have about this team.
Yeah, I can't be worried yet. You know, you're playing a game a week. If there were cup games mixed in midweek or, you know, congested schedule, whatever you want to call it, I'd be a little bit more concerned. No reason to rotate yet. We'll see. Zimmerman was named to the Nations League semifinal preliminary roster yesterday, so we'll see if he makes the trip there. We're going to miss Godoy. We're going to miss Leal sometime this summer. And so the opportunities will be there later in the year. And I think Gary Smith, we saw last year, he rode those center backs the whole season. Didn't both of them play every minute of the whole season? Isn't that the truth?
I think you're right.
I don't think either of them missed a
Ben
minute.
Wright's probably so, in the chat and can.
Yeah, Ben Wright's somewhere. He's just dogging me. He's dogging me in his house somewhere right now. I can guarantee it. But I think that is the truth. And, you know, we saw that last year. He's going to stick with the heavy hitters at center back. He's going to miss those guys later, and we're going to need other guys fresh come that time. So.
Yeah, Andy Simmons writes in on Facebook and says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it yet for the center back. So I definitely agree with that. I'm not certainly not disputing that aspect of it. But when you go down the concerns about this team right now and kind of the things we don't know yet, we've talked a lot about the things that we do. I think that's one of the question marks that you can point to with this team.
Speaking of Andy Simmons, we got a text in the group chat earlier from him saying that Slape almost scored a Van Persie-esque volley from like circa 2006. We'll put a video of that out later on. Unfortunately, the Pharma Soccer guys were not there to video the pickup game tonight. So it does not exist, the video proof. But I trust Andy's take on it. He said it was almost a beautiful goal. So
let's catch up on some of our comments here. Coming from the earlier segment, Jonathan says, Randall Leal is this team's Alexis Sanchez. I can get behind that.
I like it.
It kind of you get a bulldog that plays the way that he does and cuts inside from the left. I can certainly get
short,
behind that.
Twitchy.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Good buddy of mine, the Life of A-Pal on Twitch. My buddy Andrew says, wheels, motor, and work ethic. Love that. Still get nervous with early cards or getting caught out. Looking back, it was a steal of a transfer. I think that's a fair assessment.
Early card, super reasonable assessment.
I think at this point, though, in terms of getting caught out, last year when you got a rookie right back behind you, I would agree with that. Now you've got one of the better young fullbacks in MLS behind you. I mean, as Alistair Johnston continues to kind of grow at right back for Nashville SC, you start to get less concerned about getting forward and being caught out on the right side of the attack because Alistair Johnston has cleaned up a lot of mistakes in just a year plus at starting at right back for Gary Smith.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. Now, look, the yellow card thing, I'll agree because the dude does not ease up on the challenges. There's no way, like, he makes the hard one early, picks up the yellow. It doesn't matter. He's doing it the rest of the game either way. So it kind of just is what it is.
And at what point, again, like I'm going to keep bringing this up until we see something different with Rodrigo Pinheiro. And I know you've already talked about it a little bit, Davey, but if this is going to be a concern for Alex Moyle, I mean, I want to know where we're at with Rodrigo Pinheiro. At what point do we have to demand, okay, you know, there has to be something there. Like at what point do you say the adjustment period has to be over, he has to be thrown into the fire? That's been the only big question mark I've had so far this season with Gary Smith is putting him in with less than 120 seconds to work with against Miami when you need a goal and you give him no time to get settled in. And I know this game didn't exactly call for Pinheiro, but against Real Salt Lake, against Austin moving forward, you know, if we continue to have this conversation every week, this turns into a concern for me for a young designated player.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think that's more of a Mike Jacobs conversation than it is a Gary Smith conversation at this point. Because, you know, why are you going out and spending a DP slot on a guy that's not going to immediately contribute? But I want to stay away from making, you know, Pinheiro this team's Isaiah Wilson because he's got plenty of time to integrate himself and get used to it. And I just think that last season, if Rodrigo Pinheiro is in this team, he's starting, maybe not starting, he's contributing from day one. And now we're just seeing a Nashville SC team that as it builds an identity and builds depth, he doesn't have to. I mean, I don't know if Hani Mukhtar plays as much as he does last season. When he does, if Nashville's 2 or 3 years into its existence, I think you saw some tired legs and some, you know, heat acclimation, to be quite honest, playing in the humidity of a summer in Nashville. I'll give them time on that, but certainly have the same question.
There is
about Pinheiro.
There is something to be said, Davey. You said it in our kind of group text thread with the three of us earlier today. Why is Nashville better with less DPs? Nashville's got to be the only team in MLS that had its best performance on the one game where not a single designated player got the start. I don't know whether that is a good or a bad thing when looking at Gary Smith and Mike Jacobs. Like, I'm trying to figure out if that's something we should be encouraged
it's
by.
It's like saying why
or not.
How did the Titans win the division without a first-round pick last year?
And no defense.
Similar conversation.
I can't quite make sense out of it, but by far the best performance. You know, Hani's not in the 18. Yonder doesn't get the start. Again, I think Yonder starts up there with Baji. The result's much the same as it was with CJ, and that's not to knock CJ in any way. I thought he was very, very good, but I just think they're kind of 50-50. Now, there's maybe an argument to be said there. Why is an MLS vet who's near the end of his MLS career, or why are you saying he's 50-50 with a younger DP? I think you can make that argument, but it's interesting. It's going to be interesting. I'm very, very excited. I'm excited for this show next week. I'm excited to see the lineup Saturday night and what that looks like. Who's back healthy? And then if everyone's healthy, what is that starting lineup?
It's like, on the one hand, Nashville has built this team to where it doesn't have to rely on designated players. It doesn't have to rely on that one player to create a spark. And that's a good thing. But on the other hand, you need those players to kind of push you over the top. When the floor is as high as it is, you need a Hani Mukhtar to make a difference, or a Rodrigo Pinheiro to make a difference, or a Yonder Cadiz. So it's just, it's a probably one of the most intriguing dilemmas in Major League Soccer, I would guess.
Some other comments here. My brother is watching. Hello, Wes.
Yes.
How are you? He chimes in. First of all, says, thanks for the shout, Davey. And then follows up and says, Zimmerman missed some time, left injured versus Kansas City. In that one, which I remember now. And then Andy Simmons chimes in again and says Romney was the one that played every minute, which I remember now as well. Ben Wright also writes in and says, playing Warzone and heard my name. What's up? Ben, we love you. You're our fact checker, and we need that in our lives. All right, let's switch gears a bit. I say that as reluctantly as I can, because you all had great weeks, great weekends for Chelsea, for AC Milan. This is one of those episodes where maybe I just say I don't have a team. I love being an Arsenal fan. Obviously, I just, you know, I don't have a box of tissues near me to talk about what happened in the Emirates Stadium last Thursday, so I'm going to wait to do that as long as we can. But Davey, has Chelsea beaten Manchester City too many times already this year for you to have any hope that they're going to do it again in a Champions League final?
You know, I tweeted it out like literally that second, right? I said the fact that they've now beaten them twice in a row gives me just no confidence. Now, I think the only thing to say there is this, is that game the other day, Chelsea had 5 second choice starters in the lineup. And I think City had 8 or 9 second choice starters in the lineup. So it's not like apples to apples, right? I think Chelsea's playing very, very good right now. I'm thrilled with how they're performing. I can't remember which friend it is, Will, but he said Karim Benzema was going to get on the score sheet. So right. I owe him a shout out.
That's right.
Look, I think they're playing good. I think it's a great matchup. I think Tuchel with this Chelsea team going to be a little more defensive. Pep as offensive as he likes to be. City, we've said all year long, one of the best clubs in the world. I think they truly are one of the best clubs in the world. There's no way around it. I would put PSG and Bayern in that same conversation. Chelsea wouldn't be here in the Champions League final if they wouldn't have gotten the bracket draw that they got. But look, it went that way. And I don't think Pep is thrilled to be playing against this Thomas Tuchel-coached Chelsea team in the Champions League final. Plenty of work to be done for Chelsea still on the league side of thing. Worthless Manchester United couldn't do anything for anybody today and beat Leicester City. Ben, I'm talking to you. It just drives me crazy. But so a lot of games, important minutes left to play for Chelsea to lead up to that, which I think is good because it keeps them working, keeps them sharp, keeps them where I want them to be before the Champions League final.
Yeah, we also have to give the shout out to Manchester City for clinching its third Premier League title in 4 years.
And Zach Steffen for the first American to ever win a Premier League title.
Ben Wright has responded with an emoji that the FCC requires I do not repeat. on this radio program. Jonathan writes in again before I get to Man City and says, I like Arteta, but something is off. Arsenal's young talent is outperforming the highly paid guys. Abba and Laka are grade A talent. What is going wrong? Jonathan, I could do an hour show on just that. I really could. I actually texted my buddies Sunday when Arsenal was just ripping right through West Brom and said, you know, it makes sense why Arsenal has been a mid-table team this year, because the two best players consistently on the field every single game are teenagers. Emile Smith-Rowe and Bukayo Saka. They're easily the best players on that team. Kieran Tierney's the best player on that team, but he's hurt right now again, which has been a recurring issue for him. I still rate Kieran Tierney as the highest rated left back in the league this season when healthy. All things considered, it's been Luke Shaw. But I think when healthy, Kieran Tierney has looked the best out of anyone. He also plays the biggest role. I digress.
And it's kind of crazy. We're saying Shaw, we're talking about someone else's health when comparing them against Luke Shaw. So good to Luke Shaw for getting back in shape. He's had a great season,
been terrific.
Which I think is good. It's good
terrific.
To see. He's a good player.
But Manchester City, look, hey, if you're a long-standing fan in the early days of the Nashville Soccer Show, I say early days. This was last fall. Davey and I both sat, and we didn't sit here. I was sitting at home because we were still on Zoom at this point.
Yes.
Davey and I called Manchester City one. And do you remember the words that I said? I don't take a lot of victory laps because I'm not right enough to take enough victory laps. But I literally looked at you and said, Liverpool's back line was so good last year. It was also so healthy last year. And I'm never going to wish or predict injuries. But it's kind of like that Titans team that was so good a couple of years ago. And you look back saying, gee, they didn't have any injuries. That's going to catch up to them. And it did the next season. Liverpool's injury luck caught up to it, which is exactly what we said. And Manchester City is the deepest, most well-coached team. And so they walk to another Premier League championship. And Pep Guardiola remains the best mind in football right now.
Yeah, I think the truth is when you look at Manchester City, I think their second choice starting 11 would have a really good shout to make the top four.
Oh, yes.
They're
absolutely
that good of a team.
Sergio Aguero's in their second choice starting over.
Yeah, I mean, Laporte is in their second choice. Cancelo's in, it's kind of crazy.
Mahrez kind of is. Foden is in there too.
Foden's on the second, right. Gundogan, I mean, it's pretty wild, man. It's like how good that team is. So, look, by the league, blah, 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 all this stuff. I can't complain about that. I'm a Chelsea fan. They're a great soccer team. They're a ton of fun to watch. Well-deserved title. And we just said Liverpool wasn't going to be able to stand up to it. Now they've got a shout to kind of crack the top four here at the end. So it'll be interesting to see. So the top four race in England is going to be fun. West Ham, Chelsea, Leicester, 3-4-5. How that finishes is going to be cool to watch.
All right. When we come back, it's going to be Lucas Panzeca's turn to break down a pretty big win for his boys. Over the weekend, is Juventus and Weston McKennie staring down the Europa League at the expense of Lucas Panzeca's Milan? We'll talk about that next. Nashville Soccer Show, one final segment. We come back on 104.5 The Zone. One final segment of tonight's Nashville Soccer Show on 104.5 The Zone. In case you missed any of our conversations so far tonight, you can find it in about, I'll give myself 20 minutes to get the show up tonight. Wherever you listen to podcasts, the Nashville Soccer Show, it's on the Speedway Soccer feed as well on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher. Glad to be partnering all season long with 104.5 The Zone, talking soccer with you and getting into our Champions League and European conversation here. But before we do, Davey, I kept the tradition alive, another Ruby Red Ale, and Arsenal is still an Arsenal. Wow, that's a... awful,
don't do that.
Awful
don't
slip.
Compare them to Arsenal.
Nashville SC is still undefeated in games where Fat Bottom Brewery is the official show or the official beer of the Nashville Soccer Show.
That's exactly right. And almost 10 o'clock, which means the show is almost over, which means I'm going to crack one here in just a minute. It's going to be a Teddy Loves Pilsner for me tonight. But it could be a Nashville Pitch Invasion Lager for you Saturday night at Fat Bottom Brew for the away day at Real Salt Lake. Me, Will, Lucas, the other Speedway Soccer guys, we're going to be hanging out at Fat Bottom Brewery over in the Nations, enjoying ourselves, watching the Real match. Make it out there if you can. It's going to be a great time. Fat Bottom Brewing, they're the official craft partner of Nashville SC. Support your hometown brewery by grabbing a Teddy Loves Pilsner or a Ruby Red Ale, both available in cans at Nissan Stadium during every Nashville SC home game. I'm in the box every week. I don't get to drink them, so you guys drink them for me. We appreciate them, and we appreciate you guys for listening.
Absolutely. Love Fat Bottom Brewery. Looking forward to watching a lot of games out in their spot in the Nations when Nashville SC is on the road, and looking forward to starting that off this weekend. Should be a fun time. All right, Lucas, it is your time to take the mic and talk about Milan. A masterful performance, defeating Juventus 3-0 at the weekend. And look, Milan now has the tiebreaker over Juventus for the fourth spot in Serie A. They have got the inside track to Champions League football, while Juventus has the inside track to the Europa League. How are you feeling after this result?
I was smiling pretty hard on Sunday. That's the first win for Milan in Torino in Serie A play in 10 years. 2011 was the last time And now Juventus is, like you said, into the break, staring down the barrel of not qualifying for Champions League, which seems unthinkable right now. I wonder what that does to Andrea Pirlo. I wonder how much Juventus can't get out of their own way right now with the Super League stuff and facing sanctions from Serie A. They're a mess. But did you guys watch that game?
I saw a bit of it. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I saw probably 45 minutes between the two.
Your boy Fikayo Tomori, the Chelsea defender, scored. He's been phenomenal this season.
He's so good.
He's playing himself
into a
permanent
deal. I got a stat for you
here.
He set the Serie A record for height jumped in a game at 2.63 meters, the highest ever
over Ronaldo.
Over Ronaldo, who was at 2.54 meters.
There's a lot of talk right now about track athletes versus other athletes. When people tried to say that Ronaldo could be a world-class high jumper a couple of years ago, one of the worst takes in the history of sports. When anyone possibly said, oh my gosh, it made me so
mad. Just for some perspective, Fikayo Tomori, for those who don't know, a young Chelsea defender on loan to Milan this season, not only played himself into a starting role, but played himself into a role as one of the best defenders in Serie A and didn't just displace Alessio Romagnoli. He displaced the captain. Romagnoli's been the captain for AC Milan all season, and he forced him into a role on the bench and have to give the captain's band to someone else. That's how good Tomori's been. He's going to get a permanent deal. At least that's everything that I've seen. And and it seems as though Milan's still with a couple of big matchups coming, but it seems as though they will stay up. It's a team that spent 17 weeks at the top of the table. So it's gotten to the point where not qualifying for Champions League would be a big, big disaster at this point, even though that was the only expectation going into the season. But big smile on my face on Sunday in a 3-0 win.
And not to go back to the Chelsea thing, but the Tomori thing makes you think even harder. What was Frank Lampard thinking, dude? Like, what? How does that guy not get in a defense that is just leaking goals for your side? You loan him out. It just didn't make any sense at all to me. And very similar to Frank Lampard, I think we're going to see Pirlo in that same position soon, unfortunately. Yeah. What'd they say last year? I sent you that text, Lucas, after Sarri won the Scudetto. Anybody can win with Juve. Anybody can win with Ronaldo on their team. Club legend comes in, he's going to finish fifth. He's not going to make the Champions. Not only is he not going to win, he's going to not qualify for the Champions League.
They fired Sarri.
It's remarkable, man.
They fired Sarri a week after the celebration in the locker room. I mean, that'd be like firing, I don't want to compare Sarri to Nick Saban, but it'd be like Alabama continuously winning SEC championships and then firing Nick Saban because they haven't won a national championship in however long, like Juventus not winning Champions League. They can't get out of their own way, benefits everybody else.
It's interesting.
I think
to
they got to bring Allegri back. I just think Allegri's the guy there, or Conte, either one. Those two guys can master the league. Pirlo cannot do it. The front of that roster is aging out. McKinney's been great. Like, if they're not going to be in the Champions League, how long can they hold on to a guy like De Ligt? Like, how long can he stay there? How can they afford the wages? I don't know. They're just in trouble if they don't change something.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. They got three games left against Sassuolo, Inter, and Bologna. To get back into the top four, it would be their first Europa League place finish since their president's inaugural year. It's been quite a long time. Plus, two other guys who are on their way out. Paulo Dybala's deal expires in the summer of 22. So does Ronaldo's. If they're not in Champions League, it might be it for both of those guys. I think at least Ronaldo might be Manchester United, maybe. I hope not. Part of me hopes so, though, because they'd overpay for him. That's going to be our show here tonight on 104.5 The Zone. In case you missed any of the NSC conversation, you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts, on the Speedway Soccer feed, under the Nashville Soccer Show, and on the Zone podcast feed. Come hang with us Saturday night at Fat Bottom Brewery. Nashville SC going on the road for the first time against Real Salt Lake. We'll talk about all of it next week, Tuesday nights, right here on 104.5 The Zone.